go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott.
My name is Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer. Today it is Noel, the right-hand pass Brown.
Oh, really?
Or it's Noel Zipper Merge Brown.
Oh, Zip. Okay, that's a good one.
That's an okay one.
Yeah, that's all right.
And we are exploring something that I know is going to... You used the term last week, Scott. Oh, grind your gears, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about some of the irritating things out there, because let's just set the stage here. Can I set the scene?
Yeah.
Okay,
please
thank
do.
You. All right, so human beings are gregarious animals. We have our disagreements, which are many and varied, but we are the most successful animals, you could argue, because of our incredible ability to work together, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We invent things.
Yeah, we can adapt.
We can adapt, right. We've spread across so many, all the continents. You know what I mean? There are even a couple of us down in Antarctica right now.
Apex predator.
Apex predator, my friend, with a capital A. We have a system to this because we have what you would consider, you could call it rules of engagement, right?
Yeah.
And those can change from culture to culture, from place to place. But there are some pretty common ones. Like if you're, depending on what part of the world you're in, most people have an appropriate understanding of, do you form a line? Do you just run as a mob at the cashier? You know, how close or far should people stand?
Yeah, I feel like some of those things that you mentioned already have some variation in culture, like cultural differences.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, that's why I'm mentioning it.
Yeah.
But the point is that there are these unspoken, unwritten, but almost universally agreed upon rules, depending on the region, the world, or the situation or the context in which you live mm-hmm. in your day to day. And here in the U.S., one of the strangest melting pots of actual law and then sort of rule of thumb meets in one place. And that is on the road.
On the road. Most people have a general understanding of what is to happen on the road. And that comes from some instruction early on.
Driver's ed.
Honestly, not a lot of instruction. I mean,
it's
not very intense. I mean, I know some people went through a pretty intense program when they were learning to drive. I did. I went through a summer program, you know, that was hours every day. And, you know, there was book learning. There was a road course. There was you know, a course set up in the parking lot with cones. You would drive on the streets. It was just, there was a lot of, I said a road course. I don't mean like a race road course. I mean, you know, you would go out on the road and you'd drive a certain pattern that they would have set up for you early on. And then later on, you'd kind of, you know, freewheel it. You would go wherever you wanted.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a pretty intense, I guess, package of coursework that you had to do in order to get your license at the end of the summer. And not everybody did that. Some people would pay a little bit of money and have a private driving instructor, and you know, that was probably also you know, a little bit more intense than what I'm hearing now from my daughter, Ben. This is crazy. She's getting near the driving age.
Uh-huh.
And her friends are starting to turn 15. She's not yet, but they're starting to turn 15. And apparently here in Georgia, I'll have to look this up because I'm just kind of winging this right now from what my kid told me. So, you know, that's take all this
sure.
with a grain of salt.
Okay.
So she says that when you turn 15, you're allowed to apply for your permit without taking any kind of course as long as you can pass their test.
Wow.
So, like, you don't have to go through a driver's ed course ahead of time or take any type of coursework. You can just go right into the DMV, take the test, and if you're able to pass their test, you're able to drive. I mean, that's your permit. That's how you get it. You don't have to do the, you know, calling an agency and have them pick the kid up for, you know, the next 5 or 6 weeks or whatever every day after school and, you know, have them drive around town or whatever. It's a little bit more loose than that down here, apparently.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
And I don't know if that's 100% accurate or not, but that's what she's telling me. So we're going to find out very soon, I think, you know, if that's the case, if that's true. I guess, I mean, if parents are teaching kids still, that's something. But
yeah, that's good.
Anyways, getting back to our point.
Sure.
Is that, you know, most people have this general understanding of how the rules of the road work. I mean, and you learn that right from the very beginning, of course, with the tests that you have to take. And, of course, you know, driving on the road, you learn this stuff kind of quickly.
Right.
Somebody beside you is normally telling you initially what to do, but then you get it.
And you observe your parents.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, like, you can't turn right on red in most cases. You know, you always watch for the sign. You can't turn – you have to yield to green, you know, the green light on a left turn. You know, to oncoming traffic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. You always let pedestrians go in front of you. Here's what a white line means. Here's what a yellow line means. A lot of people get that right from the very beginning. The problem is, as you get a little bit older and you're driving more and more, you become a little bit more lax with this stuff. And there are some, you know, some things that maybe people didn't learn right from the very beginning that they never knew about. But I think a lot of people in a lot of cases that we're going to talk about today are just simply being, quite frankly, a bit lazy about some things.
Right.
That's a huge setup.
Common traffic misconceptions, the things people get wrong. How many times, Scott, have you and I run into a listener who says I'll be frank here, who says, why the hell don't people realize the left lane is the passing lane?
Yeah.
You know? Or that you shouldn't pass on the right.
Well, see, because people will call the left lane the fast lane also. And they think that's the fast lane. It's not the fast lane. It's the passing lane, technically. On a multi-lane highway, it's the passing lane. So you're technically only supposed to get in that lane to pass. But a lot of people feel that if they're going faster than everybody else, then there's no harm done, right?
Right.
But that's not the case. That's not what it's for. It's supposed to be left open, and that's strictly for passing. And you'll find that out when somebody going a little bit faster than you gets in, you know, up behind you, and you have to pull over to the right.
Right.
But also, you're kind of like a jam car there for everybody else that is trying to pass. So maybe, you know, someone up ahead of you, and you're approaching them. Sure, you're going faster than them right now. You're approaching. What am I trying to say? You're gaining on them, I guess, in traffic.
Yeah.
But they're looking to pass as well. They're going to, you know, accelerate around a truck, a semi or something.
And then it becomes a race.
Yeah, that, or they have to back way down, and then that kind of slows things down in that lane. It builds up, I guess.
And there's another thing. This is maybe not so much a misconception as a double standard. Almost everyone that I see driving in a stupid manner. And by stupid, I mean, tailgating at high speeds.
Okay.
You know?
Kind of a jerk.
Everybody's idea of tailgating who does that seems to be so strange, because when they're riding someone's bumper, their thought process is, this person should get out of my way. I'm a hot shot and I'm going places, which is almost never true. And I mean that in the larger sense about, like, their lives.
Okay.
The people in the biggest hurry are often going the least important places. And the ones that are going important places have sirens, so you know that you should move. But God forbid somebody get even the proper distance behind them, because they'll be like, I can't believe this guy's tailgating me. He's riding my bumper. I got places to go, stuff to do.
You know what's funny? When you talk about tailgating or following too close, of course, that's another thing that you learn early on is proper following distance. And that varies by weather and by the time
speed.
Of day and speed. Yeah, and all that stuff. I get there's like a two-second rule usually, or some people say it's a two-vehicle length rule, but I think that's a little bit too tight in most cases. It's funny that You don't realize maybe when you're doing that if there were to be a collision, if they were to hit the brakes, the one following too close would be the one that gets the ticket for that.
Right.
The person hitting the person in front is the one that's at fault in that situation.
And also remember, if someone's riding your tail and trying to pressure you to go an excessive speed or speed faster than you should be going, they're not the ones who get the ticket. If the cops are out there, if law enforcement is out there and they've got the gun on, they're getting you because you're in front.
Yeah, or it forces you to make a bad decision. You might merge into traffic where you normally wouldn't in an area that's too tight. Or maybe you're already going too fast and, you know, you'd have to pull into the lane to your right and have to brake hard.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous situation for everybody. So, again, this sounds like our pet peeves podcast, doesn't it?
It's getting close.
It kind of is. But the thing is, these are common things that a lot of people find on the road or see on the road every single day.
Sure.
Here's one more.
Yeah.
Let's do another quick one first, but turn signals. Everybody's car is equipped with, and I've got this, I heard this somewhere. I can't remember where I read this, Ben. everybody's car, even old cars, are equipped with lights that indicate what your vehicle's doing or is going to do, your intent, right?
You're right.
And some are automatic. Like when when you brake, the brake lights come on. You don't have to flip a switch to make the brake light, brake lights come on.
Good thing, too.
And when you go in reverse, you don't have to flip a switch for a reverse light in most cases, right? I don't think that is ever the case in a modern car. And you've got turn signals, of course. The problem is, which tell people you're going left or right, of course. A lot of people just don't take the effort to use their turn signals, and that is something that a lot of people say, well, it's not necessary if there's nobody around. I don't need to do that.
Ugh.
But that leads to you having kind of a bad habit of not doing that, even when you are in traffic. And I see this all the time in Atlanta traffic, and I'm sure wherever this is being heard around the world, you can say like, oh, that idiot didn't use his blinker when he cut into my lane, or it would just make things so much smoother if they would do that. If they would indicate that they want to get in,
yeah,
maybe there'd be a little bit more leeway given to that person. Instead of you're not trying to be a jerk by being too close to the where they're trying to merge, you just don't know that they're trying to get into your lane, and
well,
then they are.
Also, my old joke with it is, you don't want people to know your secret plan. And there's another thing for people who honestly say, like, in traffic, if I put my turn signal on, really all that happens is the car in the next lane over speeds up. And that is true. That's true in Atlanta traffic, at least. But here's the other part. Just because you don't have a turn signal on, if you're driving without them for some ludicrous reason, it doesn't mean that people don't know necessarily where you're going. It means you're a bad driver, but it doesn't mean that people can't see it. Because what I see so often? People's cars start to sort of shift or trend toward the lane they're planning to go into.
Oh, yeah.
And I can, like, it's almost like watching someone lean left or right.
Yeah, you're right. As they're approaching an off-ramp or something, you can see that they start to get to the right side of the lane.
Yeah.
And you know that person's going to take that exit, but they haven't signaled that yet.
So you
can kind of predict what they're doing.
Everybody knows your secret plan, dude.
That's funny you call it the secret plan.
Well,
like, without the signal, it's like you're just operating, like undercover.
And I can see, like, of course, signals can be irritating because something that will happen sometimes in Atlanta traffic is another misconception, which is that if I have deigned to come down from my high and mighty king of the road throne and use a turn signal like you commoners, then I'm not indicating that I want to get in this lane or I intend to. You must let me pass. A turn signal is not a passport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a it's not an order to another vehicle.
Yeah.
And there have been people who have been involved in car accidents as completely their fault that thought they weren't going to be culpable because they put on a turn signal first.
They use the signal.
They're like, I used the signal, so that car just shouldn't have been there. And it's like, without explaining the physics of how matter cannot simultaneously occupy the same space, like what is the judge supposed to do? Just like try not to embarrass them in court?
Maybe he asks, how much turn signal did you use?
Yeah, how much? Oh, that's the thing too. That's the thing. It always makes me think of, and I still don't know why people don't use turn signals, but it always makes me think of that situation that happened to me when I was a wee kid, a wee tot. We got a Nintendo, very big deal at my house. And there was the game Mario Brothers. And in Mario Brothers, you can get this, I'm sure everyone knows this, but you can get this flower that gives you the ability to shoot fireballs. And so for like the first 6 months, I would barely ever use that because I was afraid I was going to run out. And that's what I always think about with people who have turn signals. I'm like, what, did you keep count? Are you down to 11, buddy?
Yeah, there's not a tank that there's you fill up with, with turn signal.
But also, to be completely fair, sometimes when it looks like someone's not using a turn signal, the light's out and they just don't know.
Oh, that happens too.
That happens.
Or you know what else kind of bugs me a little bit is when someone has a brake light out and they're tapping the brakes and you think that the turn signal's on, but it's not the turn signal. It's their brake light that's coming on. You ever seen that happen in traffic?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. And there's these little odd quirks that happen with lights sometimes, and you can't really get angry. I mean, they should have both lights working, but it's kind of a gray area, I guess. Maybe they're on their way to get the bulb replaced right now. But you know what? How about this? Before we get to another big one that I see every single day, Let's take a break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. What's the one you see every day?
All right. The one I see every day is this, and I bet a lot of people feel my pain on this one. People merging into or out of traffic when they're not supposed to be over solid white lines.
Mm-hmm.
Happens all the time, and the line thing with me is kind of big. I mean, you learn that stuff early on.
Right.
If it's a solid white line, you don't cross that white line. You wait until it becomes a dotted line. And that's what most people don't quite get it on at least on the pathway that I take home. When there's a ramp that enters a highway, a high-speed, you know, freeway or highway,
yeah.
Oftentimes there'll be a solid white line that stays in that merging lane, or I guess not the merging lane. Yeah, I meant the merging lane, I guess, for a long, long time. And then it either goes away or becomes a dotted line. And that's where you're supposed to merge in with the faster moving traffic. A lot of people immediately off the ramp, they just cut right over the two solid white lines when it's still in, you know, kind of a triangle shape. Everybody can picture that, right?
Right.
As it merges. Or that solid line that extends, you know, maybe a significant distance down the road, but it gives you time to get up to speed and match the traffic and all that. A lot of people just completely ignore that and make kind of a left turn into faster moving traffic, and, you know, prematurely, a little too early.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good. So that happens all the time. And another thing is that you've probably seen that kind of thing too, right? I mean, the solid white line versus people get into turn lanes a little too early and go through areas where they're not supposed to. Like, so let's say there's a driveway on the right.
Right.
And there's a solid white line and it's broken then at one point. And that's to enter, like, let's say it's a drugstore or something. You're gonna enter the turn lane and turn into their parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that lane continues on, and the line becomes solid again, and there's another driveway down the road. A lot of people will get into that lane way too early and then buzz past that first driveway into the second driveway. And that's pretty dangerous because people have the expectation that if you're in that lane that early, you're going to be turning in the first one, not the second one.
Right.
And that leads to a lot of accidents because people pull out in front, you know, to get into traffic again. They assume that you're going to turn earlier than you are going to turn. You're looking at the one 100 yards down the road instead of the one that's 50 yards down the road.
Now, here's another one, merging in general. Mm-hmm. So we used the phrase zipper merge earlier.
Oh, yeah.
So when someone is going on, is coming from a surface street to an interstate, right? They're on the off ramp or the on ramp,
yeah.
And they're getting into traffic and it's heavy and there's a line. Do these people, should they zipper merge, or is there any because a lot of people when they're driving on the interstate, especially if it's traffic, rush hour traffic or something, and they're in the far right lane and they have other people trying to merge, many people often say, like, what about, I don't have to let this person in, this jabroni, this Johnny come lately.
Yeah, well, one thing that I heard a long time ago is this, that, and we'll talk about, you know, the right way to do it in just a moment, but you don't own that little bit of property right in front of your car. You know, the 10 feet of road,
yeah,
that's always in front of your car. That's not yours. So when you're trying to defend it, I guess, you know, like, that's, you're not going to let somebody in that space, you know, between you and that next vehicle. I get the frustration. I understand that, you know, you've had a rough day or,
I've,
you know,
totally done it.
The person behind you didn't let you in, or, you know, whatever the case was. I get the frustration, but it works so much. But traffic flows so much better if you do adhere to the zipper merge rule that that Ben's talking about. And,
mm-hmm,
and it's a smart way to do it. I wasn't always on board with this one when the situation was the signs ahead of time. Like, you know, when they say 2 miles ahead, two right lanes closed, 2 miles ahead. And then you get to the next one, it's 1 mile ahead, and then half a mile. The way I used to handle this was I would politely, I thought, get over into the lanes that
as
were going to continue
possible
through. Yeah,
yeah.
I would stay. I would make my way to the lane that was going to remain open. And it led to a lot of people going by. And, of course, my wife would get very upset with me. And I thought, no, I'm doing it the right way. I'm just being a polite driver and, you know, getting over the way everybody should right now. And
right,
then it'll work fine. It'll flow smoothly. That's not the way it really works best. The way it works best is if you go right – somebody has to do it. Somebody has to go right to the end. Other people have to be in the lane that does go through, but
yeah,
some people have to go all the way to the end and then do this zipper merge maneuver that you're talking about.
And then a lot of people will be resentful of that. Will say, "I'm not going to let this guy in," but it turns out that is the most efficient way to do it.
That's the proper way, and the reason is because it fills up the most space with the most the vehicles on the road are not trying to cram into the one or two lanes that are open.
Right.
They're using all three lanes in that case, or four lanes, or whatever the situation may be. that many more vehicles are able to get farther down the road. And if you watch it all play out, you understand how it's faster. But that also relies on people being kind to each other and allowing them in this zipper maneuver. And a lot of people are still kind of the way I was about it before, where I thought, look at this jerk who's cutting around everybody. They knew 2 miles ago this lane is going away. Mm-hmm. And yet they rode it all the way to the very end, and they're going to merge right before that cone, you know, that blocks their lane.
I should go ahead and point out, yeah, that's one that surprised me, because back in the day I used to think the same way. But I should point out, while we're on merging and merging in and out of things, when traffic is at a standstill, this happens so often. Somebody who probably fancies themselves a maverick will say, oh, I'm just a little ways away from the exit. I need to get off. We're an exit. So I'm going to go in the breakdown lane and drive through. And then what happens is that encourages a bunch of other would-be mavericks to say, like, oh, well, he did it, so they can't catch all of us.
Yeah.
Dope-de-dope-de-do.
So drive down the shoulder.
And drive down the shoulder. And the problem with that, the reason why that is such a garbage idea, is because when traffic is at that much of a stop, there's a very real possibility that there are injuries ahead, that there might be people dying, you know?
There might be, yeah.
Like a half mile up.
Yeah. And I've seen this scenario that you're talking about play out.
And the only way that the emergency vehicles can access it is if everybody agrees not to be self-important enough and else, you know, dumb enough to try to use that shoulder lane as their own personal
Lexus lane? Is that what they call
it? Their Lexus lane?
Yeah,
Lexus lane.
And that's not a slant at anybody that drives a Lexus. It means it's like your own personal lane. It's like a comfort thing to them.
So but, I've seen it when, like, an ambulance is trying to get through because that shoulder thing happened and everybody thought it was okay for them to do it, right? And then now this ambulance has nowhere to go, and the shoulder lane is blocked up.
Yeah, and see, now you're relying on this traffic that's not moving to allow you in somehow, to allow the ambulance by, and it just becomes a really bad situation. I've seen the exact same thing play out as well, where, you know, fire trucks are trying to get through, police officers that are driving in that lane at about 80 miles an hour trying to get to an accident that just happened. Seen it happen, you know, as recent as last month here. In the morning, there was a huge accident, you know, right on the road that I take in. It was like a 6-car accident, left debris all over. There's still debris on the road, you know, in piles on the side that they haven't cleaned up yet. It's a really bad idea. And, you know, another thing about that, too, is if you're using the shoulder to drive, a lot of times that's where all the crap from the road ends up over there. You know, like the sharp stuff, the stuff that's going to hurt your tires, the stuff that's going to, you know, maybe there's an old lawn chair that's pushed over there that, you know, fell off of someone's trailer or something. That's not a great lane to travel in, really. And you never know what's ahead. And you don't also know if somebody's going to be a jerk and try to cut you off in that lane to stop you from doing that. Because I've seen that happen, too, where someone decides they're not going to allow that guy to go by. And they kind of split the lane so they get, you know, in the middle of one lane, and they try to block that person from going ahead. And that's you can see so many of these frustrating scenarios playing out on the road. It's really tough to tough to watch sometimes, and you know, and not feel like you should be policing them as well. Like, you know, you can't really give them your wisdom, I guess, on the road.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Maybe you don't really know there's anything wrong with that. Maybe to some people that's fine. But
and I want to be completely honest. You know, I know I might be sounding kind of high and mighty and cantankerous, but I've done a lot of this stuff. I've done a lot of this, especially the merging stuff.
Oh,
I was a real pill about that one.
And, you know, we can't discount the fact that somebody may like truly have an emergency going on in that vehicle right there too. They might be
sure.
There may be someone ready to give birth in that car.
I don't know. You were going to say
or
that.
Or there could be somebody that, you know, is seriously cut or shot or whatever.
Right.
And they're trying to get to a trauma hospital or something. You never know what's going on in that person's life or car or whatever.
Mighty big of you.
You got to hold back judgment until you know the facts. Until you see that, you know, that guy was just going ahead so he could get to the Wendy's drive-thru.
Now, let's go to another – I would consider this a slightly different subset of misconceptions about traffic.
Yeah, but you know what? Before you do that, I think we should take another break for a word from our sponsor. All right. Now about those misconceptions.
Oh, yeah, we're back. Can you feel the suspense?
I can. It's tense.
Let's say you're feeling punchy. You know, you got your favorite awesome driving music on. Traffic's going crazy. And then you get in take no prisoners mode. And you're the king of the road until you hear that whoop, whoop. And you look back. And the red and blue lights are compelling you to pull over. And gosh darn it, something or other, maybe speeding, maybe some moving violation or something has brought you to the attention of Johnny Law.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of misconceptions about what happens at that point, right?
What happens at that point, during it, and afterwards.
Okay. So what are some of the big ones here? What are the highlights, I guess? Because I'll tell you an odd one that I've heard, and there's no truth to this, by the way.
And we've got some law enforcement officers in the audience, so I think you guys and ladies may get a kick out of this.
There's a lot of talk about uniforms, right? The proper uniform for an officer when they pull you over is if they have to be like at full dress or something,
right? Yeah.
So
dress blues.
I have heard that these are crazy rumors or whatever, but you know, if they are in plain clothes, they're not allowed to give you a ticket. That's not true.
Not true.
If they don't have their hat on, they cannot give you a ticket.
Not true.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like weird variations of this. Like if they have tennis shoes on instead of the standard issue shoes that they're, you know, whatever
also,
it is.
Also, not true.
Crazy things like that. I mean, you hear these really weird like situations that relate to the way they're dressed. And the legality of them giving you a citation, and then what you can do with that information when you get to court.
So here are some more. You nailed it, Scott. Here are a few more. I heard a lot of these in earlier days in high school and college.
Okay.
A lot of self-appointed experts.
Oh, yeah.
So there's this idea people have that you can get out of a traffic ticket if the cop spells your name wrong.
Oh, okay. So like a clerical error. But a clerical error that's made on the side of the road where this car is going by at 75 miles an hour or whatever the speed is. I mean, I can understand if they miss a letter here or there, or if they misread your license, you know, in dim light, or you know, whatever that is. I mean, that's a huge misconception, is that if there is an error on your ticket that is really inconsequential.
And you tell people, you know what they're going to do? They're not going to be like, curses! How dare they spell Scott Benjamin with three N's? The laws have failed. What they're going to do is say, all right, well, we'll just write down Benjamin the way it's spelled and pay the fine.
Yeah.
They'll amend the ticket.
Also, you still get those points.
Yeah.
So the thing, and also, I guess, what would your argument be? Would you say that, you know, well, this isn't my name, this isn't me, and they'd say, well, how do you have the ticket in your hand then? And the officer that, you know, pulled you over is right here in court with us.
That's another one. The idea that you automatically beat the ticket if the officer doesn't show up in court. All right, so...
Oh, that's a huge one, because I've heard that forever.
It's possible that an officer's continued absence after several court dates may result in the ticket being dismissed, but it's very, very rare for that to happen, because usually they'll work with the officer's schedule. The officer will work with the court to make sure that they are there, so that it's not a waste of time. So if you go and get if you have a speeding ticket or whatever, and you go to court for that, and the officer's not there, it doesn't mean like confetti drops from the ceiling and the judge brings out some go-go dancers and they, you know, like clap for you.
Have like an Austin Powers sexy party.
Right. No. What happens is they say, okay, we'll move that date to a time when the officer can show up.
Oh, so it's a total misconception. It just doesn't work that way. But that's one that I've heard practically from the day I started driving.
Right.
And there's more too. There's more to it than just this. All right, I got one more here that's maybe more than that. I don't know as we're talking, but there's also a common misconception that you have to be shown the radar gun that has your speed posted on it and somehow prove that you actually were clocked at the speed that you were clocked at.
I know that it is possible, or I believe it is possible, to request the testing records for those things.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know if anybody has to show a driver that. And again, of course, you know, Scott, you and I are not law enforcement officials, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to tell me if you're a cop, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. That's another misconception.
What kind of situation are we in here?
Why do you keep leaning down and talking into your chest?
Say that one more time.
Right. So jokes aside, though, we are not law enforcement officers, nor are we doing anything that would constitute legal advice.
Oh,
these are just misconceptions.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's just something I've heard a long time ago. They have to show you that radar gun reading. And
yeah.
You mentioned, you know, the validation and all that, but I don't think that's true. I don't think that's one that it would ever hold up. They'd say, like, well, if, you know, I trust my officer, and they're just out there to do their job. Oh, and one last thing that I want to clarify about the radar gun thing, too, is that it's not always a radar gun that gets you. Sometimes they just pace your vehicle and, you know, drive behind you at the same speed you're driving and realize that you're going 80 miles an hour.
Right.
And, there's nothing really to look at, in that case. It's just you're going 80. They pulled you over.
Well, let's take this hypothetical Dudley Do Wrong situation and follow another misconception.
Dudley Do Wrong. Okay, so there's a Dudley Do Right and a Dudley Do Wrong.
Are there? Okay.
Well, I don't know.
I know there's a Dudley Do Right, but I can't remember the other guy's first name.
Snidely Whiplash.
Snidely Whiplash?
That was the guy. That was the bad guy, right? Wasn't it Snidely Whiplash?
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's follow this example. Let's say somebody does get pulled over. They get their ticket. They say, you have to show me the radar. And also, I'm going to take a picture on my cell phone because their uniform is not perfect. Or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
They're being just a very difficult person to deal with.
Sure.
And they say, when the officer says, okay, here you go, citation for, you know, doing like 16 over or something like that. Something not crazy bad, but speeding.
Yeah.
And so they get the ticket, roll up the window, and they're about to drive away, and they think, well, too bad for this sucker. I actually live in Connecticut. You'll never catch me, coppers. They're making a huge mistake because they are falling for the myth that traffic tickets do not transfer out of state.
Yeah, or that you just somehow mystically disappear from their system, right? Because
right.
What happens then is then you fail to pay the ticket, or you know, a lot of times people have the misconception that the points won't follow them to their state or whatever. But let's say that you just don't pay the ticket because you feel like, well, I live across the state line, I don't need to bother with that. You fail to pay that, and then that results in you having a court date set,
right.
And you have to go into court and, you know, show your face and, you know, pay this and explain why you weren't, you know, why you didn't pay the first time. Once the court date is set, and if I miss a step here, don't, you know, get too crazy, but once that court date is missed, and then maybe they give you a second chance, maybe. If they don't, they set out a bench warrant for your arrest, right? So if you're pulled over for anything, even it doesn't matter if it's in that state or in your state, let's say you get another speeding ticket for 10 miles an hour over. This time, you're going to be taking a ride down to the station, and that happens all the time. People have outstanding
right.
warrants in other states that they get busted for. It's kind of a funny thought that, you know, these agencies aren't talking to each other. I mean, that's one of the greatest advances of the last, what, decade or so,
right.
is that they're all interconnected, maybe
right.
even longer than a decade, I think, at this point.
And then there's the – this is a defense or a misconception that I think most people know will never work now. But people used to say, I was only keeping up with the flow of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And that is never, ever, 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 ever – ever going to work.
How about the I'm only going 5 over rule, so they won't pull me over? Maybe
that's not a rule, but
a lot of people think that if they only go 5 over, they will never get pulled over, but that's not true. You get pulled over.
I've even heard people say, like, well, as long as it's the local police department, they can't pull you over unless you're going 11 or higher over. But the state troopers can get you for 1 mile over. And like, that's weird to have them ruled out that way.
Yeah, there's no different levels like that, I guess. It doesn't work out that way. Okay, you know what? Let's get back to some of the traffic ones.
Is that
right? I've got a couple more, and then maybe that's about it.
But, absolutely.
One that is bothering me recently, and not every state has these, I realize, but you know that when you're on a road that has, let's say, two lanes going one way and two going the other, and there's a center lane, and it's got yellow solid lines on both sides, and that is a turn lane, right? You're allowed to pull into that lane, kind of wait for the traffic to clear on the left side, the left side. And you can turn in then. A lot of people use that as a lane to get to the next light or as a travel lane. They'll pull out into it from one parking lot and use it to drive to maybe the next parking lot down the road, you know, the next strip mall or whatever it is, without merging into actual traffic. That's not allowed. You're not allowed to do that. In fact, there's a legal distance that you're allowed to travel in that lane, and it's only 300 feet. And that is – really, that's just for you to – slow down.
Right.
So when you pull into that lane, the maximum that you're allowed to travel in that lane is 300 feet, and then you have to stop and make your turn, or you know, just turn in if you're only having to yield. But a lot of people will drive way farther than 300 feet, or they'll get into the lane, you know, far. Let's say you're going to make a left turn at the light ahead. A lot of people get to that lane, it seems like a quarter mile back
down
the road.
Oh, yeah.
And drive down that. That's super dangerous for a lot of reasons, because people are, one, using that lane to get in and out of shopping malls or whatever. And the other one is that people that are close to the light then aren't thinking to look in the rearview mirror before they get into that turn lane. They should, but they're not. And a lot of times that leads to, you know, them cutting into the lane and you know, a collision of some kind.
Right. Absolutely.
It happens.
It happens more than you would think, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And there's one more little tidbit here that I picked up along the way, too, is I read that it is not, contrary to popular belief, it is not the place where you can pull out and then kind of wait for traffic to clear and then continue on, you know, like merge into traffic again. It's not the lane for that. They say you're supposed to drive just straight through that. You're not supposed to kind of hang out in that lane at all. It's only for turning. That's it.
It's so strange, though, that people get used to using the vehicle or using the lane manner.
It's one of those it's a common misconception. It's a lot of people think that that's totally fine to do that. They think that it's okay to use that as kind of like a stepping stone to get out into traffic, and it's not that way. It's not intended for that purpose, but most people don't know that.
And here's another fun one. It's a strange one. A lot of people think it's illegal to drive barefoot, Scott.
You know, I've always heard that, too. Like, you know, if you're going to the beach or coming from, you know, like a day out on the boat or something, it's kind of a bummer. You got to put your shoes back on and get in the car. I mean, if you don't have sandals or something, it's a bigger deal than what it sounds like, I know. But I have that backwards. It's not as big a deal as making it out to sound.
Well, it's interesting because this also seems to perplex law enforcement officials. There's a great quote from a guy named Mike Chirk, who is a state police sergeant in Michigan, and I'll just read the quote. Someone asked him about it, and he said, "That's the textbook traffic myth that's out there. I guess, to be honest, I don't know what the safety concern would be. I don't know why there'd be a law against it." Huh. A lot of law enforcement officers are stumped about how this one came about.
So that's right from a copy saying, I don't find any kind of problem with that if someone's driving with no shoes on.
Yeah. It's weird. I don't understand it.
You know, I think on a long drive, a lot of people will slip a shoe off, you know, and just for the comfort level of that. You know, it feels good to take
sweaty
your shoes
feet
off
or something.
Yeah.
But also, there is a law against riding a motorcycle barefoot in Alabama. So
That's just good sense. I mean, doesn't it really?
It's the only state, I believe, that expressly banned some kind of vehicle operation barefoot. But most states – here's the sticky part. Most states have, you know, some kind of catch-all reckless driving or driving to endanger statute. And so if the officer thought barefoot driving somehow violated the law, they could probably cite under that.
So if he's being kind of like a real stickler about everything, you know, letter of the law type thing, he could cite you for something.
Right. And here's – okay.
For the most part, they're not going to have a problem with it.
Though. Right.
Okay.
Here's another thing that brings to mind when we're talking about discretion of a law enforcement officer. People have this idea that if they just have a good enough story, it'll make up for them speeding. But notice – for people who've ever seen traffic court, the judge only asks whether you were speeding, not why. It is up to the officer's discretion in many cases to make a judgment call about like why you're speeding. So if you, to Scott's earlier example, let's say we're hanging out in the studio and then super producer Noel Brown all of a sudden gets, I don't know, in a knife fight. Or has somehow received a horrendous injury.
No, knife fight. That sounds possible.
And it's classic Noel.
Yeah.
And we're barreling down the interstate to get him to a hospital, to get him to a trauma center or something. If a cop pulls us over and sees that someone's bleeding out, they will probably just contact ambulances, EMTs,
yeah. You know,
stuff like that.
Sure.
But if our emergency is that one of us drank a big gulp or some other, you know, ungodly amount of soda and really had to use the restroom, they would probably say you have a different definition of emergency.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, that's not what we consider an emergency that you should endanger other people.
It's not like life or limb.
No, exactly not. So, yeah, you're right. So much of this comes back to the police officer discretion, right? I mean, it's if they feel like it's something that they can allow to pass this time with a warning, they will do that. But a lot of times, yeah, they just have to give you a citation because otherwise, and to be honest, Ben, a lot of people don't learn until they get that slap on the wrist, you know, until it happens.
Right.
And okay, here's another quick one. Maybe my last one really for the day. All right. So how many times, Ben, have you encountered in this crowded city where, let's say, the power goes out and an intersection is affected by this and the traffic lights go out? They go to kind of a default setting where the main route of travel, you know, the main road, blinks yellow, and then the side roads blink red because, you know, you want to stop and you know, allow that main traffic to go through. But the people on the main road with the yellow blinking lights, they stop at that light. So it becomes a four-way stop. And that it confuses everybody because the people that are going to do the right thing and go through then have to be cautious because the people that are entering traffic from the sides, you know, where it's blinking red,
all of a sudden get so entitled.
Yeah, they feel like, well, it's my turn. And so, you know, if you're the one to just buzz through there the first time, people are shocked by that, but that's the right thing to do. Just no one ahead of you has done that, and no one behind you is going to do that, and then you look like the jerk.
And it only seems to happen, at least in this city, it only seems to happen in crowded situations. Now, I will say, this makes me such a horrible person. Scott, ladies and gentlemen of Car Stuff, I confess, in this situation, I am a jerk. And you know why? I'm glad you asked.
Why are you a jerk, Ben?
Because if I'm in that situation and I've got the yellow light, then, you know, it's Katie bar the door. I'm gunning through it. Yeah, I'm going cautiously through it because it is right of way. And I rationalize it so much, dude. And I'm saying, like, well, I'm doing the right thing. Maybe these other people will catch on.
Well, that's the way I feel about the whole
thing. But when I'm in a red light and someone's stopping at the yellow light, I'm not going to motion them through. I just go.
you capitalize on their mistake.
Right? I absolutely do. It's such a bad thing. You know, it's not good for traffic.
The last time that this happened to me was the situation was the guy in the, you know, two lanes going one way and it's a yellow blinking light, and the guy in the right lane had stopped. And there was a car waiting, you know, at a red blinking light on the right or left. I don't remember which. But I was in the left lane, and I went right through it. I mean, I cautiously went through it, I should say. But I went right through it. I didn't stop. And I was hoping that people around me would see that that's the way it works. It's a blinking yellow. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Didn't work that way. The people behind me stopped and allowed the other people to go through. So no lesson learned. I guess they didn't learn by observing what happened there, but they probably just thought I was a jackass, you know, that I was the one – I was just impatient or whatever.
But like, look at this guy.
Yeah, and, you know, see, that's the thing. With all this stuff that we've been talking about today, it's like you can lead by good example, but you can't really – until you can, like, explain to the person why what you did was right or why that is the letter of the law or whatever. That's the right way to do it. It doesn't really get through to that person because they're doing it the way they feel is right. So there's constantly going to be this friction on the road with almost every one of these situations we talked about outside of, you know, getting a ticket or whatever.
Right.
Like merging and all that stuff.
I will point out, though.
Yeah.
And not to interrupt, but we do need to make it absolutely clear for anybody who doesn't know, if you are at an intersection where all four lights are blinking red, that is to be treated as a four-way stop.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking specifically about one that's red and yellow for one way. And, you know, you understand what I mean. But, yeah, it's really a frustrating thing that happens to everybody, I know. And everybody has their own thoughts about the way it should work. Like the zipper merge is maybe the best example because there are definitely two ways to look at that thing, and everybody that's doing it one way thinks the other people are jerks and the opposite of the other side. So it's just, again, without being able to talk to each other about this, like what we're doing right now, without getting that point across that, you know, there is a right way and a wrong way to do this, and most, well, I guess 50% of the people do it wrong and 50% do it right.
Do you remember those wheels, the LED display wheels?
Yeah.
I wanted to get some of those so bad, but the main problem would be I don't know if I would write helpful messages. You know what I mean?
Well, they're cost prohibitive, too. They're very expensive.
Yeah, they are surprisingly expensive.
But, well, what would you write, Ben? Would it be? Would you use logos or would it be like hand signals?
I don't know. It depends on how much character space I have, because I would probably get verbose, but there, you know, if I used to have really bad road rage, I would love to, you know, write down someone's license plate number and display it.
Man, vindictive.
Yeah, yeah. Which when I say display, I don't mean like posting on social media or anything. I think that's a very dangerous thing to do.
Oh, yes, it is.
But
not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
No.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you and everybody in a car around you, your fellow drivers, are all just trying to get from point A to point B with the minimum amount of hassle. And although it doesn't feel like it, every time you are on the road with any other vehicle, you are officially part of a team. And the point of your team's mission is to avoid people getting injured or killed.
Can I tell you a little secret?
What's that?
And this will be the last thing I say today. I still have all the rally car decals on my car.
Uh-huh.
Because we're still working on some stuff here
in
the office. But I've lost all of my anonymity on the road. So I find myself, and I think it's funny.
Oh, that's right.
But I find myself being overly, what do I want to say? Like overly courteous to people.
Yeah.
In that, you know, I don't want to, I don't ever want them to think anything bad about me.
Because you represent our show.
Well, that too. I mean, but then even to, like, let's say tomorrow we're on the road and we happen to be by each other on the road again. Like, there could be some instant karma there, instant bad karma that comes.
Yeah.
Well, not instant, I guess, you know, day long karma or whatever. But I feel like I am being, like, overly courteous to other people on the road, maybe because of that. I don't know. It's weird how it's kind of affecting the way I drive a little bit. And it's not that I'm, you know, mean to people in any other way, but I don't want to be the guy that's kind of like nudging them out of the lane or, you know, not letting them into traffic or whatever. I'm allowing people in. Maybe it's a move for the better. You know, like maybe it's helping things out.
Maybe we should remove all anonymity on the road.
No, it's a terrible idea. That's just so everybody gets a number on their car. And then you can just remember the big numbers that are on the car, right?
Right.
Well, that's the license plate.
Maybe there's a chat function, which would be the worst thing to happen to traffic ever.
All right. I just thought I'd mention this, that, you know, it's funny, but I feel like it is kind of in a way affecting the way that I'm driving. Just a little bit. Just a little.
For the better?
Yeah, I think for the better. Oh, definitely for the better.
Wait, were you a monster on the road
before?
No,
that's my point, is that it wasn't that way before, but, you know, it was a little easier to get away with stuff. Like, and again, nothing, you know, illegal or anything like that. And really, I'm not angry, bad driver or anything. I'm just saying, like, if somebody wants to merge in, like, I'll back off a little bit and let them come in. You know, before, it kind of depended on the day I was having, I guess. But now it's not. Just come on in.
I just have these pictures of you pre-rally car decals just taking jumps off overpasses into the wrong direction of traffic on the interstate
and
flipping people the bird as you swerve by.
Well, I was just giving out these common misconceptions because I just want everybody to start doing that so I can disobey all of them. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my whole goal behind this whole thing.
Well, let us give it a week to see if you accomplish it, my friend. And if you and I meet in traffic, let it be members of the same team rather than opponents in a war, which sometimes it feels like from about 4 to 7 every day here.
But it shouldn't be that way.
It should not. It absolutely shouldn't. Everybody is probably a great person just trying to get to their house before the pizza gets cold. You know what I mean?
I know.
I know. We are going to head out. We would like to hear some of your pet peeves and traffic misconceptions, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we've missed a ton of them. Like people they think they're doing the right thing, but they're not. So tell us what that is.
Mm-hmm. And let us know what you think. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We are CarStuffHSW. You can check out all of our other audio podcasts on our website, carstuffshow.com, where we also, I believe, have a road rage or pet peeves episode.
Oh, I'm sure we do.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
At some point.
We might have more than one.
Yeah, maybe.
Or if you would like to write to us with your story of misconceptions or a topic that you think we should cover for your fellow listeners in the future, you can write to us directly. We are
CarStuff@HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.